Hi there, and welcome to another edition of the Romance Program. I'm volunteer Jeannie Yost for Sun Sounds. I've got two stories coming up. The first one's from True Love Magazine called On Air, Lights, Camera, Love. Here's the story. I gently lowered the phone into its cradle and then let out a whoop. My Jack Russell Terrier, Bouncer, lifted his head from where it rested on his front legs and stared at me. When I started dancing and spinning around the room, he sprang up and danced around on his hind legs along with me. True to his name, Bouncer loved jumping and dancing, any kind of rapid movement. I bent and scooped him up, continuing to dance with him in my arms. Mommy got a job, Bouncer. Mommy finally found a good job. The dog seemed excited, but he was excited when a fly zoomed into his line of sight, so who knew if he understood. I was on cloud 9, though. College graduation was 9 months past, and I'd been working as a waitress at a family restaurant ever since. There just weren't any jobs in public relations available, though I spent every spare moment looking. Many of my friends who graduated with me hadn't been able to find jobs in their fields either, but now I had. I was set to start on the following Monday, and I'd finally have a blessedly steady and reasonable salary with benefits. No more scrambling to pay the rent. No more worrying about Bouncer or me getting sick, and I might even be able to eat dinner out once in a while somewhere other than where I worked. Bouncer and I danced for a long time, and then I got back on the phone to tell everyone I knew the good news. The first week went well. My coworkers and even my boss were welcoming, and my tasks were pretty fun. I quickly noted several key projects I hoped to work on once I was settled in and everyone knew me. The only thing that dampened my spirits was Bouncer. My serving hours had been flexible and fairly short, so I'd been home with Bouncer a lot. But with the steady 9-to-5 job, he was left alone in our apartment all day, every day. That seemed to depress him, and it took an hour each evening to cheer him up. Then the next day, I'd have to do it all over again. Since cheering him up involved issuing many threats, I was afraid Bouncer would gain too much weight to bounce. Worst of all, he didn't seem able to hold his bladder all day, and our carpets were soon stained and stinky with urine. I happened to mention this to my coworker, Denise, early in my second week of work, and she said she had the perfect solution for me. You need a midday dog walker. Somebody who loves dogs and is great with them can come in during the middle part of the day and take Bouncer outside for a walk so he can do his business. He'll love it. I'd never heard of such a thing, but it made sense. The service was available, considering how many two-career families with pets were out there. I just hoped I could afford it and could figure out how to find someone good. I searched the internet for a dog walker in my area and was amazed to find pages and pages of results. I called the one I thought was closest to my apartment and set up a meeting for the following Saturday. The walker, Jackie, met me at my door with a handshake and Bouncer with a meaty treat, meaning she'd already earned his heart. Now she just had to earn my trust, which might be tough because she looked like she was even younger than me, and I was only 22. During the day, I walk dogs, she said, flipping her blonde ponytail over one shoulder, and in the evenings I teach obedience classes. Dogs are kind of my life, she said with a shrug. Do you have dogs of your own? I asked, noting that Bouncer had rolled over on the couch, bearing the wiry white fur on his belly to Jackie for scratching. Two, a black lab and a border collie. She smiled. It's kind of a requirement that trainers have border collies. They give excellent demonstrations. Bouncer had never been to obedience school, so I could only guess at what she meant. I smiled anyway. So if I hire you, how will this work? Jackie gave me an indulgent smile. Well, you'd give me a spare key to your apartment, and then each weekday, sometime between 11 and 2, I'd let myself in, leash Bouncer up, and then we'd go out for a walk. You can choose the length of the walk. She showed more teeth. Longer walks have larger fees, of course. I'd bring him back, check his water, give him any treats you say he can have, and then he'd be good to go until you get home. It sounded too good to be true. That's it? It must cost a fortune if it was that easy. That's it. You'd leave a check for me for my fee each Friday. I'd leave a note if anything unusual happens or there is any cause for concern about Bouncer's health or so forth. You can cancel 24 hours in advance without penalty. A shorter cancellation than that, you pay me anyway. I took a deep breath. Okay, hit me with the fees. She named a manageable charge for a 15-minute walk and one that would be a stretch for 30 minutes. So 15 minutes per day it was. Honestly, I didn't like the idea of sharing my precious boy with anyone else, especially someone he has so obviously adored. But Bouncer needed this. I'd have to live with it. The arrangement worked out well, though. No more accidents on the carpet, and Bouncer was more energetic and happy when I got home in the evenings. I mentally blessed Jackie, who I labeled the best dog walker in the world, without even seeing her in action. Then the notes started to appear on my kitchen counter. One day, Jackie wrote, "Has Bouncer had bad experiences with other dogs? He doesn't seem to like them." I wrote back, "He wants to play, but I don't let him because he is usually smaller than they are." A few days later, a new note said, "I really feel Bouncer suffers from fear aggression. Has he always lunged and barked at other dogs?" I had no idea what she meant by fear aggression, but I wrote back, "Yes, he always wants to get other dogs' attention." A couple of weeks went by with no notes, so I figured everything was okay. But then Jackie called me at work. "I'm having a lot of trouble keeping Bouncer under control when he sees another dog, even though I've been using my training methods on him. I'm afraid he'll start a fight and someone will get hurt." I was shocked. "Bouncer has never started a fight." "You've been lucky then, but there are too many dogs in your neighborhood. I can't avoid having him see them, and I can't keep walking him with his current behavior. If he hurts someone, I could be sued." Now she sounded older than she looked, and very, very serious. "What do you want me to do?" I could hear Jackie's quiet sigh. "Option one is that you enroll him in an obedience class, mine or someone else's, letting the trainer know Bouncer needs to specifically work on aggression issues with other dogs. It could take quite a while to adjust his behavior, though, and I would not continue to walk Bouncer during that period." I guess I could find another dog walker for the interim, but what if that person said the same thing about Bouncer? I thought of his warm form curled against my back at night in bed. I didn't think he was aggressive. And option two, I asked. We can up his walks to 30 minutes so I have time to work with him each day. And she paused as if to draw out the drama. You sign a liability waiver so you would get sued, not me, if he hurt somebody. I bit my lip so hard I expected to taste blood. Finally, I said, I don't think I can afford 30-minute walks, and I definitely can't afford to get sued. I licked the sore lip. Do you really think he would hurt somebody? Her voice was definite. Another dog, yes, he would try. People, he wouldn't hurt on purpose, but if someone got in the middle of the dog fight. I finally understood. I had seen Bouncer act up around other dogs, and I'd always just dragged him away. But if he broke free of his leash or I didn't move away quickly enough, then I could have had a dog fight on my hands. A vision of Bouncer, bloody and bruised, flashed through my brain, bringing tears to my eyes. I took a deep breath. Okay, thanks. I'll find another dog walker and an obedience class for Bouncer. Good luck, Jackie said, and hung up. Bouncer's dog walker had ditched him. I wanted to cry. The next day, I woke up having second thoughts. Jackie was only one person, and maybe she was wrong. Maybe she was making a mountain out of a molehill. I decided I needed a second opinion. After begging Bouncer not to pee in the house while I was at work, I talked with my coworker again. Denise, the dog walking thing worked out great for a while. Thank you. But now I've been told Bouncer is aggressive with other dogs. Any words of wisdom on what I should do about that? Caesar Millen? She grinned at me. Who's that? Denise closed her eyes and let out a groan. You really should not own a dog. I opened my mouth to protest, but Denise held up a hand. Kidding, just kidding. But it's a good thing my parents are breeders and have been for years, so I've heard it all. You need a trainer, one who can specifically help with behavior problems, not just teach sit and stay. Denise was right. As much as I loved Bouncer, I didn't know squat about dogs. Bouncer was my first. I had adopted him with only 8 months, before to cheer myself up over having to wait tables rather than promote businesses and charities. It had never occurred to me to get a trainer for him, just like I'd never thought of a dog walker. I smiled. Sounds perfect. Thanks for your help once again. I swiveled my chair toward my desk, then back to Denise again. Any recommendations? She shook her head. Not in this area, I'm afraid. If you want to move to Sheboygan, though, I know just where to send you. We grinned at each other and went back to work. During my lunch break, I did another internet search for dog trainers in my area. I visited several websites and read about the trainers' experience with behavior problems and their training methods, which varied from forceful corrections akin to sparkling, which I couldn't bear to think about in relation to my beloved Bouncer, to positive reinforcement using many treats. While I had no desire for training to turn Bouncer into a butterball, I supposed if the trainer wanted to dole out a lot of treats, I could balance that by feeding him less for dinner. I called and set up an appointment for the next day with one of the positive trainers, a man named Joshua Rails. It was a good thing I did because I arrived home from work to discover that not only had Bouncer urinated all over the living room carpet again, he He had chewed up one of my throw pillows, scattering the filling all over. He obviously wanted his walks back. I got permission for a long lunch break in order to meet Joshua at my apartment. He wanted to observe Bouncer and me together before offering his expertise. When I opened the door to his knock, I was startled to have to look up so high to find his face, up past a flat stomach, up past broad shoulders that made my mouth water, and up to a sculpted face that belonged on a statue or in the movies. Joshua's website had contained a tiny picture of him, but it by no means did him any justice. While I was still enjoying the view of this man in my doorway, Bouncer was sniffing furiously at his ankles. I wondered what my dog's verdict would be. If it agreed with mine, we were in business. Mr. Beautiful held out a hand. "Miss Adams, I'm Joshua Rails." We shook hands. His was warm and smooth, and mine was as damp as my mouth was dry. Then he squatted all the way down to the floor and offered the back of his hand to Bouncer. This must be Bouncer. I finally found my voice. Yes, Bouncer was leaning into Joshua's light scratches. He likes you. I like him too. Cute, and I'll bet he's a pistol. I grinned and my tongue loosened. He can be. About 6 months ago, he decided my kitchen needed redecorating, and he pulled every single thing off the countertops. Food, spice rack, knife block, toaster, you name it. I felt a frown tighten my mouth. Actually, I guess he knocked everything off. The only thing I can figure is that he climbed up there somehow. Some of the lower cabinets and drawers were open too, so I think he must have used them like steps. I clamped my mouth shut against the babbling. Josh stood up. Impressive. He's certainly smart enough to do well with training. He looked into the apartment. May I come in and sit down? I almost tripped over myself, backing away from the door to give him room to come in. I'm sorry. Yes, please do. I gestured him toward the sofa. He sat down, making the sofa look tiny compared to his height, and I perched on the chair to one side of it. Bouncer jumped up with Joshua and commenced sniffing the upper half of his body. What were you hoping to accomplish with Bouncer? Joshua asked. The low rumble of his voice sent tingles down my spine. Fighting a shaking voice, I explained my dilemma and asked if Joshua could evaluate Bouncer's behavior before I signed him up for training. Money is an issue, so I need to be sure, I squeaked out. Of course, Joshua said. We'll take him for a walk and see how it goes. He patted his thighs. Are you ready? I jumped up and ran to the closet for Bouncer's leash. Let's go, I said. Joshua had me hold the leash and I let Bouncer do his usual leading. Bouncer pulled a little bit when he found a scene or scent he liked, which was typical. But he was pretty well behaved. That is, until the beagle who lives in the building across from mine trotted out his front door. Then Bouncer barked and snarled, blazing a path toward the beagle until he reached the end of the leash and recoiled back about a foot. At the end of his leash, he continued to grumble and show lots of teeth, lunging at the other dog so hard his front feet lifted into the air and his collar made him gag. The beagle only gave one sharp bark before turning away and trotting off happily with his master. that what you usually see? Joshua asked, looking at me. Yes, this was the first time it had really embarrassed me, though. I wasn't sure if that was because Joshua was a hotshot trainer or because I found him so attractive. He's pretty strong. It looks like you have a hard time holding him back. Yeah, I admitted. Sometimes I just drag him back home and try again later. Joshua seemed to ponder Bouncer, who'd given up the mean act and was calmly sniffing a bush. Why do you think he acts like that? Any theories? I shrugged. I always just figured he wanted to play and was unhappy that I wouldn't let him. Joshua shook his head. If that were the case, he'd be wagging his tail in the direction of the other dog, yipping a happy sound, or maybe whining. Feeling stupid, I thought hard to remember what Jackie had told me. His dog walker said something about fear aggression. That's possible. It happens a lot with little dogs like Bouncer. He pressed his lips together, but I don't think that's the case here. I think Bouncer, like most terriers, is plenty confident and self-assured. I don't think he's afraid at all. I think he's being territorial. I blinked. Territorial about what? We don't own this courtyard, and he acts like that no matter where we are. What's he guarding? You. You're his territory. I started us walking again, shaking my head. But he acted like that with Jackie, too. Did Bouncer like Jackie? Very much, darn it. And did he get worse the longer he knew her? I dropped my chin to my chest. Seems like it from her notes. He's protecting people he likes. I looked up just in time to see Joshua smile at me. He wants to keep you all to himself. My cheeks got hot. So what's the answer? Let's sit down for a minute. We just reached the apartment complex's playground. So he gestured toward the swings with a large, powerful hand. I tied Bouncer to one of the supports, and then Joshua and I sat on the little swings. Joshua smiled at me again. I could certainly work with Bouncer and you. I think we could improve his behavior a lot, but you mentioned money is an issue, so I have a proposal for you. My heart raced at his words, although I knew proposal had nothing to do with marriage and working with me meant just that, working. It was silly, but my body reacted to the words I wanted to hear. I took a deep breath to counteract some of the adrenaline. Go on. I've just signed up to do a local cable show, tentative title, Doggy Do Right. I couldn't help it. I giggled. Joshua laughed with me, and the sound flooded my belly with warmth. I know, corny. I didn't pick it. He cleared his throat as though he were a little embarrassed. Anyway, if you and Bouncer would be willing to be my first case on the show, then you wouldn't have to pay for my services at all. I squinted at him for a minute. Not paying would be good, but what would we have to do exactly? And what would Bouncer do during the day until then? Tell you what, let's address the second question first. You hire a midday walker that's willing to deal with Bouncer's behavior for a few weeks, and I'll pay for it out of the show's budget. Think you can do that? I couldn't really beat that deal, and it had taken a few weeks for Jackie to get fed up with Bouncer in the first place, so maybe the new walker wouldn't even have any problems with him in such a short time. Yes, I should be able to do that. Joshua showed me a great big grin, and I admired the crinkles at the corners of his eyes. Now, as far as appearing on the show, I can't tell you exactly what it would entail because I'm new at the whole filming thing. I nodded vigorously. That made sense. Have you ever watched The Dog Whisperer or that show with the woman trainer Victoria Stilwell? I'm sure the look on my face was blank, so I couldn't exactly lie. No, I'm afraid not. It's recently been pointed out to me that I'm a rather clueless dog owner. Joshua reached over and patted my knee. I decided I'd never wash the trousers I was wearing again. Clueless is certainly better than negligent. At least you have a good heart. I didn't know how to respond to that other than staring back at him with what must have been a goofy grin. I don't think I'd ever been so smitten with a man that quickly in my life. So, he continued on, while I brought myself back to reality, you, Bouncer, and I would all work together, probably for several weeks, or weekends, if that's all you can manage. A camera would film all of our sessions, but only the most important bits would be used in the actual show. We'd show the viewers Bouncer's problems first, and then I would teach you how to train him out of them. Then you'd spend some time working on your own, and I'd check back with more pointers, if needed. Does that make sense? Just how long is this show? Anyway, not that I minded the prospect of spending time in Joshua's company, but this sounded really involved. As if reading my mind, Joshua said, I know it sounds like a lot of work, but it actually may go faster than if you just enrolled Bouncer in an obedience class or had personal training sessions. He flashed his mesmerizing grin again. The show itself is only an hour, minus commercials. I had one more question, but I wasn't really sure how to word it. I didn't want to insult Joshua, but I really had to find out. I know we agreed that I'm a clueless dog owner, but would you make me look dumb on TV? I mean, I'm not dumb. I have a college degree. I've just never had a dog before. I winced as I watched his face and waited for his answer. He planted his feet in the mulch under the swing, bringing it to a complete stop. Looking into my eyes, he said, I have no intention of making anyone look dumb. I want to help people and their dogs. He held out his hand. Do you trust me? I looked at the hand, then reached out and grabbed it as if it were a lifeline. Yes, I trust you. We shook, settling the matter. A flutter began in my belly because I would be seeing Joshua again and again and again. I wanted to cheer. Bouncer and I did see a lot of Joshua over the next 2 months. A cameraman almost always followed him, but the guy was usually silent, and I hardly even noticed he was there. Joshua guided me through demonstrations of Bouncer's aggressive behavior, even employing some volunteer dogs for Bouncer to lunge at. Then he described to me and the camera why Bouncer was acting that way. Terriers are naturally very confident, assertive dogs, but there can be a fine line between assertiveness and aggression, he said. Then he explained how Bouncer saw me as his territory and that he wanted to keep other dogs away from me. So we need to do several things. He counted them off on his fingers. First, we need to get Bouncer lots of exercise. Make sure he's very tired at the end of the day. He'll be less likely to expend energy being aggressive if he's tired. I wondered idly what I looked like on camera as I listened. My head was probably bobbing up and down like a buoy in the water. I tried desperately to sit still. Joshua was on his second finger. Next, we need to help Bouncer understand that you are not his territory. You are his alpha dog, his superior. I only vaguely knew what he meant by that and looked forward to learning more. At last, we need to make good things happen to Bouncer when other dogs are around, so he'll learn to enjoy their company. Joshua had said I could speak, so I finally did. That one sounds like a tall order. He showed his smile crinkles. You'd be surprised what some yummy chunks of hot dog can do. The cameraman filmed Joshua and I playing fetch with Bouncer, walking him around the high school track and playing tug of war. That was the exercise part, and I had to promise to keep him active for at least an hour each day. Then we taught Bouncer to sit, stay, come, and heal so that he would know people were the boss of him. I'm not surprised to see he's smart, Joshua told me. You're a quick study too, and the master is just as important as the dog in training. He instructed me to teach Bouncer a new trick every couple of weeks to keep his mind active and stay dominant to him. He suggested I teach him to dance on his hind legs or command as an easy start, since he already danced naturally. For the last part, making him happy to have other dogs around, Joshua and I spent hours distracting Bouncer with hot dogs and bits of cheese while volunteers held other dogs nearby. Eventually, Bouncer could stay calm with another dog walking within about 5 feet of him. Joshua had hopes that someday Bouncer would actually greet and associate with other dogs, but it would take time and many more treats. Maybe we'll do an anniversary show in a year and check in on Bouncer's progress, he told the camera. No pressure. All too soon, our project was finished and Joshua was out of my life, but not my memory. The editing process was lengthy, so I wouldn't get to see the finished product until it aired in 3 months. I continued working with Bouncer on my own during those months, but it made me sad because I missed having Joshua at my side. I couldn't tell if Bouncer missed Joshua too, but I thought he might. I figured male companionship was different than female, even for a dog. A week before the air date, Joshua called. At the sound of his voice, my heart did flips. I could hardly stay still as I stood in my kitchen, phone clutched to my ear. The show is finished and it looks fabulous. You and Bouncer really made a great episode. Thank you very much. No, thank you, I managed to get out. You're an awesome trainer and Bouncer is a changed dog. Not changed too much, I hope, because he was a great little guy to start with. I pictured him smiling. Thanks, I said, and then rolled my eyes. Brilliant response. How would you and Bouncer like to watch the first airing of the episode with me? I almost choked on my tongue. We'd love that. Great. There's a really nice screening room at the station. Would you like to go there? We finalized our plans. Well, I tried to calm my rapid beating heart. I didn't want to get my hopes up that ours was the only invitation. He had probably asked all his friends and family, plus all the cable station staff, to view the episode together. It wasn't personal. But to my surprise, it was. When we arrived, only Joshua greeted us. When he led us down the hallway and ushered us into a little theater with rows of empty seats, I choked out, "Only us?" I could have sworn disappointment fluttered across his expression, but the look was gone so quickly I couldn't be sure. He smiled instead. "Just us, the three stars of the show." I smiled back at him. "Great, this should be fun." And it was. Bouncer wandered the room, sniffing every inch of the floor, while Joshua and I sat next to each other in the dark, watching the big screen. Due to his word, Joshua had avoided any implication of stupidity on my part. In fact, he made me seem completely dedicated to Bouncer and very willing to learn. And to my surprise, I thought I looked pretty cute on screen. I looked terribly young next to Joshua with his natural air of professionalism, but I actually held my own next to his loveliness. The episode ended with an outline of Bouncer's remarkable progress, Joshua's word, not mine, and his quote concerning a possible anniversary show. My heart leapt at the possibility of seeing Joshua again, but a year was a long time. My heart dropped down into my stomach. As Joshua turned on the lights, I worked up a big grin to show him. "It's wonderful. The viewers will love it, and they'll love you. I'll bet your show will graduate from this little cable station in no time." With trepidation, I reached up to give him a friendly hug. Joshua avoided my touch, though, taking a step back, and I had to struggle not to frown at him. With one palm held out toward me, he asked, "Our professional association has ended, correct?" I felt my brows pull together. "Unless you do that anniversary show you mentioned." "Yes." I frowned, not understanding why he was asking. "Then I can finally do this." He leaned down, cupped his hand behind my head, pulled me toward him, and kissed me. The warm moisture of his lips sent sensations from my mouth all the way down to my toes like an electrical shock. I leaned into him, pressing our bodies together tightly. I don't know how long we stood there enjoying our explorations, but when Joshua pulled away, rather reluctantly, I realized Bouncer was hopping up and down with his front paws on Joshua's knees. "I think he wants in on this," I said, chuckling. Joshua smiled back at me. "He can have in on the relationship. Dog people never forsake their dogs for love, but the kisses belong to me." He bent and tapped Bouncer on the nose in emphasis. Joshua and I are still learning about each other, and Bouncer is still getting to know Joshua's two border collies, Jake and Eliza, so I'm not sure where we'll end up, but I have a feeling Joshua will be my man forever. Okay, that is the end of my first story. If you tuned in late, this is the Romance Program with volunteer Jeannie Yost for Sun Sounds. I've got another story coming up from True Love Confessions, or actually this is True Love, a magazine, and this one is called The Cat's Out of the Bag. Here's the story. "Peanut, you have to come down." I tried to reason with the kitten sitting on a branch in the tree of my front yard. "I promised Mrs. Anderson I would take good care of you while she's on vacation." Oblivious to my pleas, Peanut continued to lick his paws, one little cat finger at a time. Next, I threatened in low tones, "This is ridiculous. You get down here right now. If you don't come down, I'm going to withhold your catnip." Peanut coolly gazed at me for a moment and then returned to grooming himself. Desperate, I glanced around just to be sure no one was within earshot before I began to make cat noises, followed by bird noises. Peanut was completely unimpressed. Common sense told me that no cat ever died in a tree. I mean, eventually they must all come down on their own accord, right? But I wasn't taking any chances. I gave Mrs. Anderson my word, and Peanut was not going to kitty heaven on my shift. Okay, fine, that's it. If you won't come to me, then I guess I'll just have to come to you. I jumped into the air and reached for a low branch without success. Wrapping my arms around the trunk, I wedged a sneaker against the bark and tried to shimmy up the tree. I slid right down. Need some help? I whirled around. My new neighbor from across the street stood behind me. Warmth crept up my neck and infused my face. I live in a very small town where everyone pretty much knows everyone, and yet things have been so busy lately, I haven't even had time to introduce myself to the very cute man who moved in across the street. Did I mention he's also an apparently single cute man who has moved in? Dusting off my shirt, I ran a hand through my hair and removed a twig, giving my very best imitation of nonchalant. Cat, I said, looking up. Fortunately, he didn't seem to notice my less than sparkling social skills. Adjusting his glasses, he walked back and forth while staring into the tree's dense foliage, assessing the situation. The man was even cuter in person than he was from my usual vantage point on my front porch, where I sat reading in the evenings, pretending I was not checking him out. From across the street, I couldn't see the thick waves in his dark blonde hair or the chiseled nose. I've tried almost everything, I said. Have you got a ladder? Mine isn't trustworthy, and I refuse to bother the volunteer fire department about a stubborn... I glared up at Peanut Cat. I have something better. He disappeared into his house for a few moments, and when he returned, he tossed a can of tuna fish to me. Genius, I grinned. Thank you, Blake. Sure. She said, Sarah. I returned. So... You bought the Harris house? Yeah, I'm a friend of the family. I got a great deal. I gave a small nod. They mentioned you. Oh, I hope it was positive. Just something about a pink flamingo. I pointed to the manjana bird in my yard. Sort of a package deal with the house. I see. His expression said he didn't, but that was okay. So shall I do the honors? I asked. Please. The popping sound of the can opening had Peanut down the tree faster than I could have predicted. I grabbed the feisty feline by his faux jeweled collar. I really owe you one, I said. Blake smiled. It was a rather nice smile that reached his deep green eyes. I notice things like that. I held on to Peanut tightly. Only a few more hours. I would be more than relieved when I could relinquish responsibility of the very precocious pet. Not only had Peanut escaped twice since Friday, but he had also knocked over and shattered a very expensive vase while chasing a fly. That evening, after I finally dropped Peanut off at Mrs. Anderson's, I saw Blake backing out of his driveway in his pickup truck. I returned his smile with a cheery wave and wondered how I could find another opportunity to get to know my new neighbor. I'm not the helpless type, nor the assertive type. I'm just your girlfriend next door type, and that didn't give me many options except to hope that Peanut would climb another tree. It was quite a surprise when my doorbell rang the next afternoon and I discovered Blake on my front porch. He held a very content-looking Peanut in his arms. The cat purred like he'd swallowed a small engine. Blake narrowed his eyes. Did someone tell him where the tuna came from? I laughed. It wasn't me, I promise. I opened the screen and took the cat from him. Come on in, I said, depositing Peanut on a chair. Blake followed me to the kitchen. "Smells great in here. Cinnamon?" "Yes, snickerdoodles. I just made a batch." He nodded. "My favorite." "Mine too." I slipped a few cookies into a baggie and handed them to him. "Thanks, I'll save them for later." He cleared his throat and fingered his wine-rimmed glasses. I was wondering. I glanced up. "Don't you just love a vulnerable guy?" He was so adorable as he stuttered around. "Yes?" I asked. "Have you eaten yet?" "Well, I did sneak a few cookies. Someone had to taste test them." "I meant real food. Would you be interested in dinner? I know a great out-of-the-way Italian place." I grimaced, truly disappointed. "Oh, I wish I could, but it's my night to visit my great aunt at the retirement center. We order Chinese and play rummy. The cookies are for her." "Oh, that's really nice. Well, she's a cool lady. Actually, this is her house and her pink flamingo." "Really?" He glanced around. "It's a nice little cottage." "Thanks, I'd invite you along, but frankly, Auntie can be a little inappropriate at times. I don't know you well enough to put you through stories of my potty training escapades." His eyes grew wide and I spoke, Then he released a chuckle. "Okay, well, another time then? Auntie or dinner? Either would be great." "Good answer," I said with a laugh. "I'd really like that." After Blake left, I changed into jeans and then carried Peanut down the street to Mrs. Anderson's. The next afternoon, after I mowed the lawn, trimmed the hedges, and put the flamingo back where my aunt likes it, I sat on my porch enjoying the satisfaction of a job well done. It wasn't long before Blake crossed the street and strode up the driveway, carrying Peanut, and as usual, Peanut looked quite satisfied. This time I tried not to laugh, but a giggle escaped anyhow. "Again?" Blake nodded and handed over Peanut. "I don't suppose you'd be interested in that rain check," he asked. I brightened. "Can you give me an hour to clean up?" "Sure. What do you think about your porch for pizza and my house for a movie?" "My new favorite venue. Sounds perfect." Mrs. Anderson was relieved to have Peanut back safe and sound. "Thank you for returning him again." She frowned as she gently scratched Peanut beneath his chin. "You know, I'm a little worried about my kitty. He's lost his appetite lately." "Peanut? That's hard to believe." "Yes, and it's the strangest thing how he sneaks out that door. Before I went on vacation, he hardly ever got out. Now it's almost as though he has some place to be." She laughed. "I know that sounds silly, but lately it seems like he sits in the window just planning his escape." I pondered Mrs. Anderson's comments while I showered and got ready for my evening with Blake. "I've wanted to ask you out for weeks," Blake admitted as he opened the pizza box. Whiffs of cheese and pepperoni drifted into the air, momentarily distracting me. His words finally sunk in. "You have? Well, what took you so long?" I asked. Caught off guard, Blake paused and then burst out laughing. "I'm a planner," he finally said. "You had a plan?" He shrugged. "Yeah, sort of." As I reached for a slice of pizza, Mrs. Anderson walked past my house. "Peanut! Oh, Peanut!" she called. When she looked up at us, she smiled. "Have you seen Peanut, Sarah?" "Not since this afternoon," I said between bites. "Do you want some help looking for him?" "No, thank you, dear. That's not necessary. Mrs. Anderson, have you met Blake? He lives across the street." "Oh, the Harris house. How nice to meet you." "You too," Blake said. "Well, I don't want to bother you two. I'm sure Peanut will find his way home." She sighed. "He always does." I love Mrs. Anderson and have a certain cynical regard for Peanut, but I was delighted that she didn't need my help at the moment. Blake glanced from Mrs. Anderson's retreating form to me, his expression was definitely puzzled. "Why is she looking for Peanut?" he asked. "Is this a trick question?" I cocked my head. "No, she's looking for him because Peanut is her cat." "I thought Peanut was your cat." I reached for another piece of pizza. "Okay, I admit at this point I couldn't quite meet Blake's eyes." "You did? Didn't you think it was a little strange I kept returning Peanut to you?" he asked. Wiping my hands on a paper napkin, I prepared to fess up. "You know, I sort of suspected as much." I bit my lip and suppressed a giggle. "But I wasn't going to complain because every time you came over, I had a chance to get to talk to you." Blake groaned. "Oh, boy." "What?" The man definitely looked like he was in pain. "I have my own confession to make." I raised my brows. "Okay, but please don't let it be a wife and six kids in another state. Has anyone ever mentioned you have an interesting thought process?" "Often. No wife, no kids." "There's a relief. So you were confessing?" I waved my hand, inviting him to continue. "Whenever I see Peanut outside, I encourage him to visit my house." When my glance connected with Blake's, the light bulb went off. Understanding dawned. "You give him tuna fish?" Blake gave me a weak smile. "It seemed like a good opportunity to get to know you." I nearly choked. I laughed so hard. "Are you okay?" Blake asked. "That was your plan?" He gave a shrug of embarrassment. "So I take it you aren't mad?" "I'm honored," I said. Blake smiled and I grinned back at him. "And that certainly explains a lot," I said. "Oh yeah, how's that?" He narrowed his eyes. "Mrs. Anderson said Peanut has lost his appetite. Obviously, he prefers your tuna to her mere cat food offerings." "Or he's full," Blake said. He scratched his head. "How am I going to explain this to Mrs. Anderson?" "Oh, I think we should probably keep this between you and me and Peanut." He raised a brow and questioned. "Peanut can be retrained. Eventually, he'll get hungry enough to eat his cat food. That is, if you stop feeding him tuna." "I can't agree to that." "Well, unless," he paused, unless you agree to a real date." "What do you mean? This is a real date, isn't it?" "No, I mean a date without Peanut." "What?" I frowned, confused. Blake dusted off his hands and reached under his chair, pulling Peanut onto his lap. "Hi, buddy." "Peanut," I laughed. "So what do you say?" "I say it's a deal. I guess we'd better return Peanut." "Yes, I guess we'd better." I couldn't stop grinning as I reached over and rubbed the top of Peanut's head. The cat purred with pleasure. I had to admit that I was becoming more and more fond of that little kitten every day. Okay, that's the end of that story, and this is going to do it for the romance program. As always, thanks for listening. This has been Volunteer Jeannie Yost for Sun Sounds. Take care and have a great week. Bye-bye.